This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving and pleased you're spending time with us on what is called Black Friday. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser is our leadoff guest. Jeff Palermo is producing. Signature support is from Subaru of Baton Rouge, SubaruBR.com. So Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser is celebrating the fact that he's back in office for another 4 years. He'll begin his third term in 45 days. And for the second straight cycle on October 14th, he received more votes than any other statewide elected official. And we do not have term limits for any statewide office other than governor. And if you'd like to chime in and ask a question about anything going on in the world of politics, tourism, or crime, which we're about to discuss, Billy Nungesser is at the ready. Your number is 877-217-5757. 877-217-5757. Emails go to talk@talklouisiana.org. Governor Nungesser, congratulations again on your victory, and you and Governor Landry and all the other statewide elected officials will take the oath on January 8th, and we're getting closer and closer.
Thank you, Jim. I'm honored to serve again for 4 more years, and heartfelt that to reach so many votes in the first primary and not to have to go to a runoff. So that was pretty exciting.
The Democrat who received the highest percentage of votes among all statewide offices, all 7, was Dustin Granger. He got just under 35% of the votes. The Democratic Party is about where the Republican Party was when your dad was meeting in the phone booth plotting strategy. Well, what is going on?
Well, I think as both parties have gone from the far right to the far left, people are looking for somewhere they're comfortable with. And I think the far left in the Democratic Party has left a lot of conservative Democrats for many years that wouldn't change to Republican or wouldn't vote Republican have shifted over to voting a Republican. And I think it's been more and more, especially in Louisiana, over the last several years.
Now, I had some free time Wednesday afternoon, so I went to New Orleans, and I go to Canal Street, and there's crime scene tape all over the place, and the 2 separate shootings and 2 homicides on Thanksgiving Eve, and to show you how this has become so commonplace, within minutes, people are walking with their children, and it's as though nothing happened, and yet 2 people lost their lives. This has become, per capita, the most violent city in America as far as the murder rate. Billy Nungesser, you have talked about this, and of course, you are the person who heads the tourism efforts in our state, and this is the crown jewel of Louisiana, and it is something that has to be addressed.
Absolutely. You know, the disconnect, I don't know if you've seen the commercials with the DA running TV spots every day saying, don't take a gun to the quarter. You don't need a gun to have fun. The disconnect between his office and what's really the problem. Do you really think the criminals are watching TV? Yet last year, when he took they had a task force, took 17 guns, won a machine gun away from 17 criminals, most of them underage. They let them go home that night. So what did they do? They probably went out and robbed and stole to get money to buy another gun. None of them went to jail. So for him running commercials about don't take a gun to the quarter, instead of putting all that money he's wasting on TV ads behind fighting crime or supporting law enforcement and keeping those criminals in jail, every one of these kids that are arrested for carjacking, armed robbery, they've been arrested 10 or 15 times. There's your crime problem. Nobody's spending any time in jail. And until you keep them locked up, you're not going to tackle the crime problem.
Well, and these are in heavily trafficked areas with tourists from all over the world, and it's not isolated. I mean, right in front of Rubenstein Brothers, for God's sakes. Yeah, I bet you shopped there as a kid, and there we have a murder the other night on Thanksgiving Eve.
Well, you know, something else, too, is keeping them in jail But, you know, I took the plan that we had presented to the mayor about managing the quarter as a historical district, whether it's with park rangers or state police, but to make that district safe, clean, lit up, put a camera in every streetlight. But I think anything short of the governor's task force doing something to make that a special district and having a police officer on every corner, I don't think we're going to be able to turn it around. And so I gave our plan to Boise Bollinger, who heads up the task force for the governor, on what we had proposed for the quarter. But I think something drastic is going to have to be done, because we're getting more and more people. We used to get letters, people bragging about coming to New Orleans. I don't get one good letter anymore. It's all negative about the homeless, the filth, you know, the crowd in the quarter. And there's probably several bars in the quarter that need to be shut down. They're not attracting anything other than thugs, and you know, people are carrying guns in them. And so it's going to take an all-out effort, and I believe the governor is going to work with this task force to try to get something done. It's at a critical point where if we don't turn around soon, I don't know if you save it.
877-217-5757 for Lieutenant Governor William Harold Billy Nungesser, former head of Plaquemines Parish and now about to start his third term as Lieutenant Governor. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. Tracy at the Capitol asks about this epidemic of crime in New Orleans, and you mentioned Governor Landry's task force, one that just the title of it is New Orleans, and I looked at the list. It's an impressive group of people. We talk a lot about this, and I commend the governor-elect for doing this, but at some point, action has to go with the talk. What can a task force do, Governor Nungesser?
Well, I hope they will go back and recommend some options to the governor. You know, there's been talk about there used to be a state police district in the quarter. I don't know the laws about if they set up, whether it's a historical district with park rangers, much like I have park rangers at the state parks, or whether it's state police. But to make that asset something that when people are arrested in that district, they're not just going home to their mother that night, they're going to jail. But to really enforce the laws, put a camera in every streetlight. So if you go rob somebody in the quarter, but you also need a bank of cameras in the headquarters, so somebody's watching those cameras on every corner, so you can see something about ready to happen, be proactive, and not just react to the shootings. It's that's going to have to take place in a place that has such a crowd. And we also got to bring some of the live music, some of the venues back in the quarter that attracted the kind of people you want shopping and spending money down there. And unfortunately, a lot of these places have closed, and we continue to see businesses close. There's got to be something to attract the right clientele down there to spend money and tourists. And unfortunately, more and more tourists are coming to town and walking down Bourbon Street, and they're being pressured to buy things by illegal vendors on the street. It's just not a good atmosphere anymore.
Mikey in Pass Christiane. Mikey, you're on Talk Louisiana with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Hi, Mikey.
Good morning. Good morning, y'all. How are y'all?
Fine.
Happy Thanksgiving. Good morning.
And to you.
Hey, about the problem in the quarter and, you know, the area around the city, mid-city, uptown, everywhere, I think he spoke about, you know, beefing the police up. I just think we should look to places like, unfortunately, Brazil and Colombia, where they have a very different, very physically aggressive, not, you know, not going to do anything bad, but you know, some intimidation to these people, because they're not, they, like you said, the crime is bad. Those, they should have, you know, like he said, those, he collected those guns and they went free.
All right. Well, we do have to play by the rules, and people do have rights. And of course, the last thing we want is for tourists to come to Louisiana and get roughed up by law enforcement officials. But nonetheless, we have a crime epidemic. Louisiana, of course, usually leads the nation per capita in murders, and it's because of New Orleans and Baton Rouge and Shreveport. But Lieutenant Governor Nungesser, it's a personnel issue as well. I like your idea about having a police officer on every corner, but is that practical? Do we have the resources to do that?
It's all, you know, listen, I've had trouble getting officers for my museums and state parks, but you got to lean forward and work hard, and you got to support the law enforcement that you put in place. But we filled all those positions that we needed to fill, because failure is not an option. And I think the same thing if we're going to save the quarter. But we also got to support the police. Think about being a police officer on the street corner in the French Quarter and arresting the same guy week in and week out for selling dope, and they see the same guy out there. How many times do you risk your life arresting that guy if you know he's walking out the door the next day? So you got to support the police by keeping these criminals. It's disrespectful to the police to ask them to risk their life, and then the kid's back out on the street because his mom wants to take him home that night from jail.
877-217-5757. Back after this brief timeout. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana on WWNO 89.9 New Orleans and WRKF 89.3 Baton Rouge, the two preeminent public radio stations in Louisiana with an audience that rivals any of the talk stations that are from the commercial realm in our state. So we're pleased you're with us. Day after Thanksgiving, this is a live show, and we've got Governor Nungesser, Lieutenant Governor Nungesser, with us for a bit longer, and we have some folks lined up to talk with him. Your number 877-217-5757. Jeff Palermo producing. Please be concise in your remarks. Lisa in New Orleans. Lisa, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, good morning. So I'm just wondering if there's any discussion about long-term ways to combat crime. Obviously, I hear a lot about policing, and I agree with all of that. But what about, like, you know, looking at putting more money into public schools or, more money into community programs for the long term?
Well, it all starts with education, and poverty is a big part. So the economy and education, without addressing those, the problem doesn't go away. But we generally live in the now, and the now is that we got a problem, and we're talking about what Lisa's recommending, and I fully endorse what she's saying. That's something that happens over time, and there are two different issues. There's what we do now, and there's what we do to prevent this from happening year after year after year, as it has for many years, Lieutenant Governor.
Well, I think, too, a lot of times people in high school, I know a lot of people feel pressure to go to college, and we keep saying the VOTAC training of teaching people to be carpenters, plumbers, which is not a bad living today. And there's so shortage of those skilled jobs is at a young age, teaching these kids that they can make a good living without going to college, and getting them interested in some of this VOTAC training. And we've been talking about it, and there's some of that done. But it all comes with the mentors. It comes from parents and who these kids look up to. But look, some of these kids that I agree, we've got to do things to get these kids interested in making an honest living. But some of these kids that are out there with guns committing murders, you got to keep them locked up. I believe in rehabilitation, but I also believe in keeping them locked up until when you put them back on the streets, the streets are safe, because we owe an obligation to the citizens of the state. And like you said, Jim, in the short term, of getting our streets cleaned up and safe.
HB in Denham Springs. HB, you're on Talk Louisiana with Billy Nungesser.
Good morning, Governor. The biggest enemy that I know of in law enforcement right today, and has been for a long, long time, is the plea bargaining going on by the district attorneys who prosecute the cases. They reduce the charges down so low that it's credit for time served back out on the street for major offenses.
I think he's echoing what you have said to some extent, Lieutenant Governor. Should we throw the book at these people if they commit a violent crime?
Absolutely. And Jim, let me tell you this. You want to end that? Every time we see this guy picked up for carjacking or killing someone, we put his picture on TV. What we ought to be doing is putting the picture of the lawyer, the judge that let him out. and start identifying when someone gets killed and they've been arrested 15 times before they killed someone. Let's go back and let the public know who let this kid or this criminal walk the streets till he took a loved one to somebody. And you want to start getting them. So then we know who's letting these people back on the street, whether it's the plea bargaining down, whether it's the judge. But I think we got to start looking at, why is this kid walking the street before he carjacked or killed someone, never spent any quality time in jail?
Thank you, HB. Jim and Walker. Jim, you're on with Governor, Lieutenant Governor Nungesser. Hello, Jim.
Good morning, Lieutenant Governor. You'd mentioned problems with the homeless. That's fixable if we have affordable housing, which we don't have in this. We have problems with people not being able to make a living wage in New Orleans. If you want people out of poverty where things like this aren't happening, you got to pay them enough. You got too many parents having to work 2 to 3 jobs just to make ends meet.
All right. But, Jim, you know, most of the people who live under those conditions, and mind you, we are a poor state, maybe the poorest state in America, most of them play by the rules. And, Lieutenant Governor, I've often said these people who live in these high crime areas, most of them are law-abiding citizens. Imagine what it's like for them. They're playing by the rules. They're not committing crimes, but yet they have crime, and we're talking about violent crime, all around them. It's not a good environment, to say the least.
I looked at other states and what are they doing? And I got to commend some of the council members in New Orleans have been looking at those long-term solutions of some tiny housing off in an area to get them off the streets in there. I think the mayor's idea of putting them in neighborhoods and renting them houses is a disaster. First off, the federal money won't last to do that. And if they destroy the house, and do they really want to put those in family neighborhoods? But to find a place, like I think in Minnesota, they took a Walmart that was closed down and put like little modulars in there to get them off the street and give them a place, at least a roof over their head. But some kind of a less expensive way than renting houses and putting them in neighborhoods is not a long-term solution. I'm glad they're doing something in New Orleans, but it's got to be a little bit more long-term to identifying the problems and putting them in these places, in neighborhoods. I just think that's a disaster waiting to happen.
Steve in Mandeville. Steve, you're on with Lieutenant Governor Nungesser.
So what do we do about the overcrowding in the jails, and you want to put these guys? I mean, I agree that we need to do something, but you're saying, you know, anytime these guys, if they give them a plea bargain and stuff and let them go, but we got overcrowded jails.
We have overcrowded jails, and we have the highest percentage of our population in the world, I'm told, incarcerated. So we can only do so much, and that's one of the reasons why these, quote, nonviolent people were let out of jail. But where do we draw the line, Billy Nungesser?
Well, I think there's a, you know, I'm not opposed to people getting out of jail that have served their time, or some of these that are rehabilitated. But I don't, listen, if you're 17 years old and you've carjacked 10 people and you don't spend any time in jail till you kill someone, that's unacceptable. We owe it, these criminals that are repeat offenders have to be locked up until they're rehabilitated. And I don't care if you've got to put temporary jail cells for overcrowding, but you can't use the fact that the jails are overcrowded to let these thugs walk the streets until they kill somebody. Otherwise, there's going to be nobody left living in New Orleans that can afford to move out. It's got to be cleaned up now. The long-term solutions for incarceration, rehabilitation, all the things you're talking about are great. But we've got a crisis right now that if we don't lock up these thugs, there'll be no one left to protect.
Rick in New Orleans. Rick, you're on with Lieutenant Governor Nungesser.
Yes, I would like to say I like several things he said, but the last thing that's going to last is the radio and TV stations, because when someone tries to say something heavy duty, they can't handle it. Now, let me make it quick if I can on this. What he said about cameras is great. They have cameras on the bus, but if someone gets altered or hurt on a bus or the driver gets killed, try to ask for on your own, if you have an interest in that camera, like you're in it, for a copy of that footage.
All right. Well, we do have public records laws, and they should be followed, and there is a way to protest if they're not followed, Rick. Rick sounds like a lot of people. He's basically saying there's no hope. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but I'm not sure that's right. What do you think?
Well, we can't give up. I mean, listen, we promote Mardi Gras all over Louisiana. And we've got international visitors coming into Mardi Gras and Shreveport, home of Morgan City. Family-friendly, safe, affordable Mardi Gras. We see those numbers continue to go up because they feel safe in some of those areas of Louisiana. We can't give up on New Orleans. We've got to make this. And I'm cautiously optimistic that we can do this with the new leadership in Baton Rouge.
All right, we're going to take a short break and spend a few more minutes with Lieutenant Governor Nungesser. Then it's Mark Ballard of the Advocate and Picayune after this. You're listening to Talk Louisiana Friday Politics on WWNO New Orleans and WRKF Baton Rouge. 877-217-5757 is your number. And we're spending a few more minutes with the Lieutenant Governor of our state, Billy Nungesser, who is a native of New Orleans, went to O. Perry Walker High School, and, of course, has great reverence for that city. Who could be from Louisiana and not love New Orleans? But it's a city with great joy and great pain, and it leads the nation, unfortunately, in per capita murder right now. And there were two homicides on Canal Street, heavily trafficked Canal Street, the 800 block, which is block from the Walgreens, where I spent a lot of quality time as a kid, a block from the Roosevelt Hotel. A man was killed, and the assailants are at large. 877-217-5757. Lori in Baton Rouge, who's been waiting for Lieutenant Governor Nungesser. Hello, Lori. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Lieutenant Governor. I'm just kind of listening to you saying how we need to lock them up and that things aren't going to change until we do. But a lot of these kids, their life is such poor quality. They don't care about going to jail. That doesn't scare them. That isn't going to change the things they do, because in jail, at least they have a roof over and three squares every day. I really feel like we need to, like a previous caller said, is we need to intervene earlier in these kids' lives, some way, somehow, making sure that they have just their basic needs met on a regular basis instead of day to day, and having somebody in the household to make sure that they make, well, not good choices, but you know what I'm trying to say.
All right. Governor Nungesser.
I'm in favor of all those programs. Look, I had a riding center for special needs children, and on Wednesday, we took troubled teens and taught them to ride a horse. And some of those mentors to those young kids said, that's the first time I heard that boy say, that horse loves me. So we made a difference with that therapeutic riding center that I had down in Plaquemines Parish with some of these troubled teens. So I'm all in favor of that. But right now, today, these young kids, 14, 12, 13, carrying a gun on the streets, need to be off the streets to make them safe. That's not saying we shouldn't be helping these kids with mentors. And also some of these parents that go to court and say, let my baby come home to me tonight. And then the next night they back on the street robbing someone. Hold the parents accountable. If they want to take their child home that's carjacked someone, hold them accountable the next time they end up in jail. You're right. We've got to do everything to save these kids at a young age. But the ones that are out there today, tonight with guns, we got to get them off the street, and we owe it to the citizens to make it safe until we can change the culture of these young kids.
Paul in Ascension Parish, you're on with Billy Nungesser, Paul.
Yes, Lieutenant Governor, I enjoyed the Macy's Parade and Louisiana's presence there. I'm wondering what the investment of that is, and what is the return on investment, if it's measurable.
All right. I'm glad you asked about the Macy's Parade, which is one of the real pride and joys of Governor Nungesser. Your thoughts about the investment, and what is it, and is it worth what we use as resources to participate?
Yeah, the investment for the Macy's Parade was $1.3 million for a 3-year commitment. And it's right at $1 million for the Rose Parade each year. And over the last 2 years, those two parades reached over 6 billion people with an ad value of a little over $60 million. So we always measure the return on investment. And people ask, will we sign up again for the Macy's? We'll evaluate the return on investment this year. We'll look at what they want going forward and weigh whether that investment is worth it. At the end of the year, when people are thinking about where they're going on vacation, both of these parades have knocked it out the park at getting people to go to our website and book trips to Mardi Gras and other vacations here in Louisiana. So it's a great time of year. Both parades have really done better than we thought on our return on investment. So we're going to look at continuing them. If the price makes sense, we will continue.
Final caller for Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, who, great for us, makes consistent stops once a month with us on this program. It is Michael in Gretna, I believe. Michael, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Billy Nungesser.
Hey, good morning. I don't know if this is Michael or Gretna. This is, I think, Billy's great friend, Michael Hex, calling from Greater New Orleans, Inc., and I just wanted to call in to the governor and the show and say happy Thanksgiving and how grateful we are for all the work that he does leading the state, leading the region. And I just had one small correction and comment, if I may.
Certainly.
You had mentioned that New Orleans is tragically worst in the nation in homicides per capita. And it's worth a correction that, the somewhat good news is that we're no longer the worst. We're at about 40 per 100,000. St. Louis is much worse than us at close to 70 per 100,000. So we're making some progress, but we still have a long way to go. Homicides are down about 20% this year, which is relatively good news, but we're still over 100% worse than we were in 2019, which was a 50-year low. So, some of the work that's been done by Chief Woodfork, by the new Chief Kirkpatrick, by our NOLA coalition, by the current governor, by Governor Nungesser, Lieutenant Governor. It's beginning to have effect by the NOLA coalition, our group of about 550 organizations. But we do have a long way to go. So just a small correction for the good of the order.
Okay. According to the latest figures, and Michael, I'm glad you made the correction, New Orleans is now number 3 in America. St. Louis 1, Baltimore 2, New Orleans 3. This is in homicides. And it includes cities of a certain size, so Baton Rouge would not be included in this list. Detroit, 4th, Cleveland, and Las Vegas, Kansas City, Memphis, Newark, and Chicago is 10th. And, of course, Chicago has more murders, but they have more people. And it is a dangerous place. In Louisiana, ironically, last year, for the first time in over 30 years, was not number one. It was surpassed by Mississippi, and it was a terrible year for homicides all over the country. But New Orleans has a lot of work to do, and Billy Nungesser, you have stated it's not only murder, it's carjackings and other crimes that certainly impede tourism, and you're out there making the case that this is a great place to visit, and I know you don't want to speak wrongly, and it is a great place to visit, but if you're a victim of crime, it's not so great.
No, we get letters and emails every day. People say they're not coming back. And I want to thank Mike Kapp and his team because we are lucky to have people like him and many citizens and groups that really care about changing this and turning around. And the only way we're going to do it is all working together. So while we talk about a lot of the negatives here on the program, we're blessed to have people like Michael Heck and his group that really are investing in turning around. So there's hope, and I think we can save it. And I'm excited about what the new year may bring and really putting some effort to changing the city and making it shine.
Well, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to catch up with you, and hope you had a good holiday, Billy Nungesser.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
You too. We're joined now by Mark Ballard of The Advocate, who for years was covering the state capitol, the house that Huey built, and now he still follows what's going on there with Ernest, and a former member of the state legislature is the person in charge of the U.S. House of Representatives now, and Mike Johnson. And another man who served in the Louisiana House, Steve Scalise, is the number two person in the majority on Capitol Hill. And before we go there, a listener asked a question of you, Mark. He obviously knows you have migrated to the nation's capital, that not so long ago, Washington, D.C. had the highest murder rate in America. And when I look at these lists now, it's not in the top 20. There are murders, of course, but they must have done something there that might be replicated. Do you know what was done in the nation's capital to curb what was an epidemic homicide rate there?
You know, I don't know for sure what they did, but the nation's capital had a problem with drugs, and they have basically ratcheted down on drug gangs and drug sales, and maybe that had something to do with it. That's my best guess. I do want to point out, though, that New Orleans has always had a crime problem, and point out that Abraham Lincoln, when he visited New Orleans as a young man, was accosted and almost murdered in an attempt to rob him. So it's not new.
No, and as bad as it is, the highest number of murders in New Orleans by far was in 1994. There were almost 500 murders. Now, they had more people in New Orleans then, but still, per capita, it was higher than it is now. So this is not something new, but then it went down a bit, and now it's back up. And Michael Hecht made a good point. It's no longer number one with a bullet. It's number three with a bullet, and any progress is appreciated. But we live in a country with 400 million guns, and sometimes they get in the hands of bad people.
Well, this is true, and there's no arguing that. The thing in the district that I've noticed is that the security is like at a much, much higher level than it is in Baton Rouge or New Orleans, for that matter. There are a lot more police on the streets, and they're everywhere you see. They're more numerous than tourists sometimes.
Yeah, well, and when I was there Wednesday night when all this commotion was on Canal Street, and there were police all over the place, and they were there for hours, but you can only do so much, and it's a culture that has to be addressed. We have issues, as noted, with poverty and education, and we have criminal justice issues, and we quite often say we can handle it with more cops and stronger sentences, and that's just part of the equation. It's a larger problem than that. And we'll talk with Mark Ballard about much more. And if you're so inclined, 877-217-5757. You're listening to Friday Politics on Talk Louisiana, WWNO and WRKF. And we're back after this short timeout. You're listening to Talk Louisiana on WWNO New Orleans, WRKF Baton Rouge. Mark Ballard of The Advocate, who covered state politics for a generation or two at the house that Huey built, and now he is in the nation's capital covering politics. And Louisiana is a place that has 1.4% of the national population, but we generate far more than that in the news cycle, and that's evident by the leadership that we have. We have two people in the top posts in the U.S. House on the Republican side. And it is a Republican majority in the U.S. House, who are both from Louisiana and both graduates of Louisiana State University, Mike Johnson and Steve Scalise. And 25 years ago, briefly, we had two people who were in top posts in the U.S. House on the Republican side, which had the majority, and Newt Gingrich and Bob Livingston, both of whom were educated at Tulane University. So we outkick our coverage when it comes to politicos who are prominent in our world.
Yeah, punch above our weight, I believe, is the term that we do. But that is very true. And then when you look at the Democratic side, that Troy Carter is the assistant chair or deputy chair, I don't know what the exact of the Black Caucus, and there's a very good possibility that the Democrats will retake the House come 2024. So we still could have Louisiana at the top.
Well, but we would lose Johnson as Speaker, and I would imagine if Republicans lost control, they would blame somebody. So Mike Johnson is walking a tightrope, but when we have the State of the Union address early next year, unless something changes, it'll be Joe Biden, and then behind him in prominent view will be Kamala Harris, the Vice President, and Speaker of the House, James Michael Johnson, the pride of Benton, Louisiana. Ben in New Orleans. Ben, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Fine.
I moved here in 1988 from Washington, D.C. So at that time, Washington, D.C. had the worst murder rate, and I got slightly safer when I moved here. And I know one thing that's happened in D.C., because I do go back and see my mom, is they legalized cannabis. And so I'll take my answer off here, but I was wondering whether that had anything to do
Well, maybe so. 24 states now have legalized marijuana. The latest is Ohio, which is far from a blue liberal state, but Louisiana, I'm sure, will be last in line. But I would imagine that would be a great study for a sociologist, Mark, to study whether cannabis makes people more mellow and perhaps less violent.
Well, and less likely to get arrested. I mean, Maryland is also a recreational cannabis, and Virginia has a misdemeanor ticket writing, but with this new Democratic majority, at least from watching the ads and on the campaign ads for the election a couple of weeks ago, that it looks like Virginia also will have recreational cannabis. The other issue, I think, though, that is important is that people get paid a lot more. The minimum wage in the District of Columbia is $15 an hour. That's not, you know, things are more expensive, yes, but you do see more people with work and money and able to kind of get out and spend as opposed to be poverty stricken all the time. That's not to say there's no poverty in the district, but it's a lot less prevalent than it is in Louisiana.
And I think Washington, D.C. is the only American city in which there are more people with a college degree than without. And education, certainly basic education, is important, but study after study has shown that the more educated people are, the less likely they are to pull out a gun and shoot somebody. But sometimes
well,
it happens.
Well, they have more options. They have more
there
options.
You go.
And the,
there you go.
The public schools are far better than they are in Louisiana, and that provides more options for people.
James in Metairie. James, you're on with Mark Ballard. Good morning, James.
Well, good morning, Jim and Mark. Just a heads up here, looking forward. About 6 days from now, the big debate on Fox News, 8 o'clock Central Time. Gavin Newsom versus Ron DeSantis. Now, a lot of people think that Gavin Newsom can be savior, since David Axelrod said that the polls show an unbelievable possibility that Trump could beat Biden. And by the way, Biden called David Axelrod a name I can't repeat on the air here. So what's the buzz in Washington about somebody replacing Biden to run against Trump? Thank you.
All right. There's a lot of buzz about it, but will it happen? Biden doesn't seem likely to give up the White House. What's the old axiom? Possession's 9/10 of the law. What would have to happen for him to say, I've had enough?
Well, I think, he's a very smart man. So I imagine that at some point, you know, he'll look at the polls and say, I can't do it. And then at that point, you have a number of Democrats that would be, jockeying for position. And I guess the biggest names would be Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan, Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary, and, of course, Kamala Harris. But I think, we can go back and think about, this is not unprecedented. Lyndon Johnson was took at what is a couple of weeks after the New Hampshire primary, which he won, but not by a percentage that he liked. And he decided to just abruptly drop his second run. So
but he was being challenged from within his own party. And right now, Newsom is not doing that. He's just angling, and angling only goes so far. Alexandra, I believe it is, in New Orleans. Hello. Good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning. I'm just kind of going back to the thread you had about crime rates and increases in crime rates. And I feel like with all the discussion about abortion, not enough attention is paid to the fact that if we're going to be restricting access to abortion, if we're going to be restricting access to birth control, we're going to have an increase in neglected and unwanted children going into foster care. The statistics already show that there's an increase in states that have, you know, been restricting it. You know, in Louisiana, what are we going to do about that? Right. There's also studies that show 20 years after abortion was legalized, there were crime rates declined, meaning that, you know, as there were less neglected and unwanted children, there was a drop in crime at this point.
Okay. Thank you, Alexandra. That's something that more than a few people have discussed, but it's rarely talked about much because it involves a sensitive issue. But it would seem that a person who has an unwanted pregnancy, who is poor, maybe in a single parent home, all of those things are reflective of bad outcomes on many occasions, not all occasions, but on many. And it is a long-term quandary as to what happens now that abortion is all but banned in much of the country and in Louisiana, Mark.
Well, she makes a good point, and not to wade into a woman's right to choose what to do with her own body, but the arguments for abortion is that you're basically taking a life, and you know, and that trumps everything else in that argument. So that, you know, that the crime rates grow down, you know, that is a side issue to the key issue, which is that you're taking a life. And I think that's where we're going to end up having this fight.
All right. Already I've gotten emails about all the great people who grew up in single parent homes, and my father died when I was 9. My mother, I think she did a fine job, but on the whole, we're talking about percentages here. It's better to have, I think, two parents at home with their children. Tom on Blue Bonnet. Good morning, Tom. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Good morning. I wondered if Mark Ballard knew anything about the governor's stance on creationism. Mike Johnson is reportedly a young earth creationist who maintains that the world is about 6,000 years old.
All right. Didn't John Bell years ago cast a vote on that?
Well, I am not altogether sure. Well, he would have been too young to cast a vote on creationism as taught in the schools. But Mike Johnson, I'm unsure exactly where he stands on that. You know, I think that he believes in creationism, but more so perhaps as a symbolic definition. You know, I mean, I do not believe that he's among the group that think that dinosaurs and men walk the earth at the same time. But I'm unsure about that because he has been not very clear in his answers on that.
As we part, listener notes that one Lee Harvey Oswald was killed on this date on national television in 1963, 60 years ago. He was 24 years old, grew up in New Orleans, lived at 2109 Alvar Street, and then grew up at 831 Pauline, and ultimately lived at 4905 Magazine Street. He was arrested about 100 days before he allegedly shot and killed the President of the United States. He is a man who lives in infamy, and he is a New Orleanian, Mark Ballard. I'm sure you remember 1963, November 22nd and November 24th.
I do actually remember that fairly well. It was, I guess, one of those seminal moments that, you know, mark our history.
Yes, indeed. Well, Mark, we're glad you're part of history and talking about it with us on a regular basis. Let's talk next week. Hope you have a great remainder of your holiday, and that's the same for all of our listeners. And be safe until Monday on WRKF and next Friday when we'll be on both WRKF and WWNO. I'm Jim Inkster, signature support from Subaru in Baton Rouge.